think about what we do every Sunday morning here at church. The Bible is opened and a passage is read. Then the preacher gets up and he speaks about that passage for about 30 or 40 minutes. That's what we do. And my task today is to explain from the Bible why it is that we do that.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we continue our series, Worship, What We Do and Why We Do It. We began the series taking a look at what worship is, and as we have continued throughout the series, we've begun to look at different elements of a worship service, from singing and giving and praying. Today, we look at preaching. Like Pastor Colin just asked, why does the pastor get up, open up the Bible, and spend 30 to 40 minutes explaining God's Word and talking about how we apply that to our lives? What's the big benefit of that? Well, today as we begin our message, we're not only going to look at what we believe about the Bible, its source and its power, but we're going to see also what the Word of God gives. So if you have a Bible handy, I hope you'll open it and join us in Psalm 19 as we begin this message called Preaching. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, some years ago, I was asked by a couple who we knew in England to perform their wedding service. It was to be held at a beautiful ancient church in the village that they came from. And they said, you know, this is a church in which there's never really any preaching of the gospel, but all of our family and our friends are going to be there. We would like you to do our wedding, and we want you to preach. We want you to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we talked about that. We booked the church for the period of time. They said, we want you to speak for about 20 minutes after we've been married and to set it out and so forth and so on. So we planned the service and traveled to that area. Karen came with me. Andrew was just a baby at the time. And during the service, in fact, while I was actually speaking, Karen had to take him out of the church itself. And so she was standing just outside the door in the entrance, where also was the photographer, who was pacing up and down like a caged lion. I mean, he'd never seen a wedding service where someone spoke like this. And so, being somewhat relieved to have the company of a young mother who had come out with a baby, he engaged my wife Karen in some conversation, and then, still getting more frustrated and looking at his watch, he said, who is that guy in there who is going on and on and on? To which, of course, she, with her charm and delight, said, oh, that's my husband. Well, that is it not, precisely the world's view of preaching? That it is some guy in there going on and on and on. And if you ask someone who has a slightly more cynical view of what happens in church, they will say this, that preachers are people with far too much power who get their kicks out of telling everybody else what to do. Now, if that is what preaching is, it has absolutely no place whatsoever in a service of worship. No place whatsoever. No room for that. So we need to understand what preaching is. And if we're to understand what preaching is, the place to begin is with what we believe about the Bible. Now, I'm going to refer to a number of different scriptures today. We'll put them on the screen so that you can note them down and follow them up for further study. And then later we will focus on the passage that was read for us so well from the book of Nehemiah. I want to begin with some observations from the Bible about what we believe about the Bible. And first of all, its source. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed out by God, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. In other words, the Bible's own claim and what we as a community of believers hold to is that the Bible is not the word of man about God, but it is the word of God to man. Now, that is a very, very important distinction. Because, you see, throughout history and across different cultures, various cultures have produced different religious writings. And our postmodern world has latched onto the insight that it would be very arrogant for one group of people to say that their set of religious ideas is better than anybody else's. And if the Bible is just one set of religious ideas that happened to be written by Moses, Peter, James, and John, why should it be given any higher value than other religious insights that were written by Muhammad or Buddha or, for that matter, Oprah Winfrey? Because at least she's around today. I mean, she's not out of date. After all, we're told religion is a private matter. And it's up to every person to decide on a personal basis to believe in their own way. And the way in which this is sometimes illustrated to us is by saying that we're all like ants, little insects, not A-U-N-T-S, A-N-T-S. We're all like ants on the back of an elephant. You see, when it comes to this religious thing, we're all engaged in the great search for the elephant. But each of us ants just has his tiny little perspective. And, of course, at the end of the day, none of us can actually know the elephant. We're all scratching around with our tiny insights, and the more we say about our little insight, the more foolish we sound, because we're all actually talking about what is ultimately unknowable to any of us. Of course, the answer to that is to ask this question. What if the elephant spoke? What if the elephant spoke in a language that the ants could understand? What if the elephant said to the ants on its back, "Let me tell you about my trunk that you cannot see. Let me tell you about my tusks that you have never felt. Let me tell you about my feet and about my tail. Let me tell you about where I am going through the jungle. Let me tell you about what I purpose to accomplish." What if the God who made this world and everything in it has actually stepped into history to tell us about himself? What if he has actually chosen to speak in words that human beings like us can actually understand? What if the God in whom we live and move and have our being has actually spoken to us? Now, you see, that is precisely what the Bible claims and what we believe. That God has made himself known. He has spoken to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. By the way, that is why true Christians have the highest respect and the deepest affection for Jewish people. Because it was through this line that God chose to make himself known to the world. God has spoken, he has breathed out the scriptures, giving them through apostles and prophets. He has made himself known to little people like us in language that we can understand. That is why the scriptures are unlike any other book. That is why they teach us, they rebuke us, in other words, they tell us where we're wrong, they correct us, they bring us into the right path, and they train us in righteousness. The Bible does much more than give us information about God. It actually equips us to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, do you see the importance of this distinction? If the Bible was just another collection of man's ideas about God, it really should be relegated to the Museum of History, and we should listen to some contemporary spiritual teacher today instead. Because it would only be a record of what people used to think about God. And that's of little relevance to us today. But if the Bible is God's unchanging word to men and women of every culture, then our destiny will depend on how we respond to it. That's what we believe about the Bible and its source.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Preaching. Well, coming up on Thursday, November the 4th at 7 p.m., we have a special online event we want to invite you to. It's called Celebration of Impact, and we're reflecting on all that the Lord has been doing here at Unlocking the Bible and looking at what's to come. And we would love for you to be a part of that special evening. All you have to do to register is come to our website, unlockingthebible.org, Register for the event so we can send you a custom video link. Again, this is Thursday, November 4th, 7 p.m. Central Time, and register for your custom link to the event at unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
What we believe about the Bible and its power. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So then the Scriptures themselves are claiming, God reveals to us that the Bible is much more than a source book of information. It is life-changing in its power. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to bring change in our lives. The Word of God is living and active. When it is received by faith, it will bear fruit in your life. Martin Luther said, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." And that isn't always a comfortable experience, because when the Word of God gets inside of us, it cuts us up. It's like a sharp two-edged sword. It judges us. It finds us out. I look in the Bible and I say, oh boy, I don't like what I see of myself when I read this. Now let me give you just a sample of what the Bible will do when it is received by faith in the life of any person. You might like to turn now to Psalm 19, because there's a list of at least six things that God does through his word in the life of anyone who receives it by faith. So you might like to turn to this. It's a wonderful passage to get hold of, Psalm 19. Look at what the word of God does. First verse 7, the word of God gives life. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving or converting the soul. We are born again, we're told in the New Testament in 1 Peter, through the living and enduring Word of God. Think of how a new life is conceived in the womb. As an egg is fertilized. Where there is faith and it connects with the living seed of the Word of God, their new life is born into the soul of a man or a woman. The Word of God will bring new life to your soul. It will give you new direction, new energy, new power, new capacity. You may find yourself absolutely flaked out. You will find yourself lifted up by the Word of God when you come to it with faith. Secondly, wisdom. Verse 7, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The Scriptures will show you the path of wisdom. They'll never lead you astray. Now, that's so important. I can trust the Scriptures. They're trustworthy. See, I can't trust my own mind. I can't trust my own heart. If I just go by what I think, there's too many foolish ideas in this head that will lead me down wrong paths. I need my mind to be guided, shaped by the Word of God. And if I just go by my heart, that'll be a path to disaster. I read a lot these days of living by your heart. That's a potential recipe for disaster. Even the redeemed heart has all kinds of other passions mixed up in it. You see a young couple going out on a hot date, and you say to them, live by your heart. That'll be a recipe for disaster. You see someone who's despairing on the top of a cliff and you say, just follow your heart. That'll be a recipe for disaster. But the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. They save us from being naive. The simple person doesn't have the capacity to understand, but the Word of God will show even the simple how to live. So, mothers, if you want to shape wisdom in your children, teach them the Word of God on your knee. Fathers, if you want to shape wisdom in your family, teach them the Word of God around the table. The culture is dumbing our children down. The Bible will wisen our children up. It will expand their capacity. Thirdly, joy. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. Boy, if you really love a person, you love to listen to them talk. And if I really love God, I will love to listen to him speak, and he speaks in his word. Imagine listening in a conversation to the God of the universe. How could anything that he says be dull or boring? The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. That's why David says, oh, how I love your law. That's one of the first marks of a real Christian believer, that he or she loves the word of God. Fourthly, it brings hope. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. There's maybe someone here in this congregation, you feel you're in absolute darkness. You say, I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how this is all going to work out. And what David is saying to us is that the word of God is a light source. It brings light to the eyes. It gives hope. And if you will come to the word of God with faith in your darkest moments, you will find the path and the light of hope there. The entrance of your word gives light, the Psalms say. Then verse 11, it warns us. Not just that God's word points us in the right direction, but it keeps us from the wrong direction. My son, do not go down the way of the adulteress. Boy, we need that warning in our culture today. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Boy, we need that in our culture today. Then look at the reward. In keeping them, there is great reward, verse 11. Notice that it doesn't say there's a reward for keeping them. It says there's a reward in keeping them. You see, there is no greater life, no better life than you can live than to live according to the law of God. The person who does this will be like a tree planted by streams of water who yields fruit and whose leaf does not wither. Now, this is life-changing. The Holy Spirit uses the scripture to bring these benefits into the soul of a person who believes. And the question then is, how can we experience the life and the wisdom and the joy and the hope and the warning and the reward that comes from the Word of God? And the answer is, we will experience this as we submit ourselves fully to that word. And that's where we come to the third thing that we believe about the scriptures. Its source is the first thing, its power, and now its authority. Evangelicals have used a phrase that I think is very helpful. It's not heard so much today. They used to talk about being under the word. What they meant by that is that the word gives direction to me, not the other way around. That even when there are things that I don't fully understand or things that I find difficult or hard to do, that I live under the authority of the Word of God, it is over me. The only alternative to that, of course, would be that we are over the Word, and if that was the case, we would have the liberty of taking the bits that we like and discarding the bits that we don't. I call that the channel hopper's approach to the Bible. Now, have we got any self-confessed channel hoppers here? I mean, we all do this stuff if we're watching television at some time, I guess. You sit with your remote, and you flick through the channels until you find something that suits your mood. And when you see something you don't like, you just keep switching the channels. Why? Because you don't want to be shaped by it. Now, when it comes to the Bible, it is precisely the opposite. We do want to be shaped by it. We want the life, the wisdom, the joy, the hope, the warning, and the reward that comes from the Word of God to fill our souls. And the only way for that to happen is for us to submit ourselves to the whole of Scripture. to say that this word is over me. I don't come to it like the channel hopper looking for something that I happen to like and ignoring everything else. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So to give a different picture, my son Andrew is a long-distance runner. And if the team has a meet on a Saturday, they will go out and load up on carbs, on pasta, on Friday night. So all you folks are on the low-carb diet. This is completely the opposite. These guys go out and they load up on the carbs. Why? Because they know that that is what their bodies will need to burn over the long distance of the run that's coming up the following day. Now that's how we're to approach the Word of God. Not picking out a little bit that happens to fit our mood or our interest, but knowing that the Word of God is what we need to sustain us in a life of service and ministry in all of the pressures and temptations of this hostile world. So here's what we believe about the Scriptures. That they are God-breathed, that they are life-changing, and therefore that we are to submit ourselves to this Word so that our lives are shaped by it. Now that's what we believe about the Bible. And these convictions are the foundation of everything else that we believe about preaching.
Pastor Colin Smith here on Unlocking the Bible, taking a look at what we believe about the Bible. And as he just kind of alluded to, next time, we're going to spend some time talking about what we believe about preaching. So I hope you make it a point to tune in. But if you know you can't be listening on the radio, you don't have to miss Pastor Colin's teaching. You can always come to our website and you can listen to the program online. Just come to unlockingthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also sign up to podcast the program, or you'll find links there to the Unlocking the Bible app. The app is free, and that's a great way to listen on the go whenever it fits your schedule. Now, you can find the app at your favorite app store. Just simply search for Unlocking the Bible, or we'll link you to it through our website, unlockingthebible.org. But whether you listen through the podcast, online, the app, or on the radio, it's all made possible because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called Knowing God. It's written by J.I. Packer. And Colin, what would you say that this book is about?
Well, Steve, it's about knowing God. That's why that's the title. But, you know, here's the thing. There's a huge difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible simply to acquire a knowledge of certain truths in the Bible that remain sort of external to us. And, well, you know, this is what Christianity teaches. This is what Christians believe. It's another thing altogether to come to know God in a personal way, to come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to a place where you really do have a relationship with Him and you have a sense of wonder and of worship over who He really is and all that is yours in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. And what I found with Packer's book, Knowing God, is that he speaks about God from the Scripture in a way that moves the heart and the soul. I mean, let me read you just a couple of lines to give a sample of this. He's talking about how God became man. He says, the Word became flesh. God became man. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is this truth of the incarnation. I find when I read Packer on Knowing God, that I get something of a sense of the wonder of who God is and the wonder of what He's done. This has been a life-shaping book for me, and I'm so glad that we're able this month to be able to offer this book. I think it will be life-shaping for you. It should be a book that you'll treasure because it's about knowing God, and there's nothing more important in all of life than that.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book as you give a financial gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. You can give by calling us at 1-866-865-6253. That might be easier to remember as 1-866-UNLOCKED. Or you can give online. Come to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. You've become discouraged in your Bible reading. Find out why next time on Unlocking the Bible.